It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Over the last 6 weeks, several major conferences, conventions, and gatherings scheduled for Pittsburgh have been canceled in response to the pandemic. How has this impacted our region's economy? Jared Bacher is the Executive Vice President and Interim CEO of Visit Pittsburgh, the official tourism agency for the region. Jared, welcome to the Confluence.
Thank you very much for having me, Kevin. Pleasure to be with you.
Some of these events are recruited to come here to Pittsburgh. Others are homegrown. Do you know how many we've missed out on just in the last 6 or 7 weeks?
Just Visit Pittsburgh-related events that we've seen cancel or postpone over the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, all the way through right now until about September, we've seen close to 150 events cancel that were related to Visit Pittsburgh. Obviously, when you look at, you know, various sporting events, certainly with our professional leagues, collegiate events, and even, you know, smaller meetings and forums that would have taken place at hotels and so forth, the number is compounded exponentially even beyond the numbers that we're tracking.
Some of these events happen every year, such as AnthroCon, that you and our businesses count on.
Absolutely. And AnthroCon, we have to say, is one of those events that was probably one of the harder ones for us to see canceled, just because that group has been with us for so many years and has really impacted our community in such a positive way. You know, since they've been here, since they've been coming here, you know, the economic impact that we've measured over the years is close to $71 million.
How many people are we talking about to some of these events you mentioned, alluded to, who would normally travel here, but they're not going to?
Yeah, over, you know, the 150 events that we've tracked so far that have either canceled or postponed, you know, it's close to 130,000 participants, 130,000 people who would have come into Pittsburgh to attend these events. And, you know, that includes business events, some meetings, conferences. The business events, you know, we've seen quite a few of those try to postpone their dates till later in the year, some now going into next year from a rescheduling standpoint. But the sporting events, just because of the way the calendars typically work for sport organizers, they're unfortunately just having to cancel for this year.
We've talked about people, about visitors, but economically, in terms of dollars, how important are these events to the area?
That's where we start really seeing the concern. You know, events when they're coming into Pittsburgh, you know, it's not just the event itself taking place at the convention center or at a hotel or a smaller venue. You know, the impact on those facilities is certainly impactful, but it really is the trickle-on effect of, you know, how many hotels are negatively affected because those people are not staying in hotels, the restaurants, our attractions and museums. So these have a far-reaching impact. We measure the economic impact for every event, again, that we're associated with. And right now we've tracked over $75 million worth of lost economic impact that has been resulting from these event cancellations and postponements.
But this ripple effect goes much farther, doesn't it? I mean, down to the little shops and boutiques that have already been hit hard by the shutdown.
Absolutely. You know, the retail sector, you know, is obviously a big part of our small businesses, our you know, the shops that you're referring to. So it's really important that we keep these people coming into the city, into the county, so that they're taking time to spend money in these small businesses. Supporting local communities is absolutely critical. They have a long-lasting impact on these businesses, as you noted.
Could all this affect the rest of us, say, in tax revenues and such?
It can, absolutely. You know, there's hotel tax revenues that are certainly deeply impacted. You know, when you look at tourism in general, tourism across Allegheny County at this point, not just from events, but even our leisure tourism, it's a $6.4 billion industry. That's about $400 million worth of state and local taxes that are not going to be collected as the industry has been shut down. So it has a huge impact on our ability to collect taxes.
So what are your projections of what this is going to do for the remainder of the year?
Well, we're still trying to invent the crystal ball, Kevin. We're still trying to make sure that we understand what's going to happen as we move into the summertime and into the fall and winter. We're optimistic that hopefully within the third and fourth quarter, we're going to see events start to come back in a more robust manner. But even any event that does take place is going to look and feel much differently than it used to. We are now seeing event RFPs, and we have really our first one came in today that has a new look and feel on what event organizers are looking for when it comes to organizing their events. They're looking for a lot more space. They're looking for people to be spaced out. They're making sure that they're asking a lot more detailed questions on health and safety standards. It's going to be a much different world as we come out of this, but we will come out of this. We're already putting a market recovery plan in place, which is very much staggered, starting small and building from there based on what the health officials and our elected officials are guiding us on. The industry will come back, but it's going to look and feel much different than it does today or than it used to.
Jared Bacher is the Executive Vice President and Interim CEO of Visit Pittsburgh. Jared, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's The Confluence. I'm Kevin Gavin. I'm joined now by arts and culture reporter Bill O'Driscoll, who was listening in. Bill, what did you hear there from Visit Pittsburgh?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty quiet summer here in Pittsburgh, at least for the first part of it. 150 events canceled that they knew of at the time. And a lot of people who would have been coming into town otherwise not making their way here.
Some events like Pittsburgh's Earth Day celebration were postponed or moved online. What other local shows and events have been impacted by the pandemic?
Pretty much everything, I think, now. I don't really know of anything currently that's scheduled through June at this point. The calendar is pretty much open at that through June. A few things probably are still scheduled for July, but even today we've heard of some more things being canceled for July. So most of them do have online components that they're planning or hoping to do.
Well, speaking of online, how are some of the events, like the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival, reimagining themselves online?
Well, the Jazz Festival and the Arts Festival both canceled. Both say that they're going to have some kind of online representation, but they haven't really announced what that is yet. So, they're both really big events, probably challenging to come up with something that's effective online, but they haven't really yet said. Plenty of arts groups are doing things, though, live performances, taking things from their archives, virtual tours of galleries and museums. So there's a lot of ways to do it.
Right. Three Rivers Arts Festival not taking place physically this year, as you mentioned. But what might this mean for local artists and performers?
Well, it's a really big opportunity just to take, lots of people go to the arts festival for the music shows. And of course, the headliners are typically larger national touring acts. Nobody's touring right now. But the opening acts for those bands very often, and many of the smaller secondary stages at the arts festival, are local performers. And these are great opportunities for local musicians to reach a different and bigger audience. And they won't obviously have that opportunity this year. In terms of visual art, the big show is the Juried Visual Art Show that the Cultural Trust puts on as part of the Arts Festival. And that's dozens of, 50 or more local artists who get to show their work for, again, folks who might not see it if it was just in a small gallery or the types of places they would normally exhibit. So a really big opportunity lost there.
Bill, how are the canceled events impacting Pittsburghers who work in industries that rely on tourism, like restaurants, hotels?
Well, the impact is really big there, too. I've been reporting a bit about restaurants and hotels, and those obviously took a big hit early on, immediately, just even without considering the impact of events on them. They're both down to the ones that are still open, I should say, are down to a fraction of the normal business they would do. And as Jared was saying, they get big boosts from these summer tourists that come in for events like the Arts Festival. And when I say tourists, not necessarily people from very far away, but even from, just outside the region that come in and, might have a few restaurant meals, might stay a night or two in a hotel, and all that stuff is just not going to be there for, again, at least the first part of the summer.
The list is so long. Pittsburgh Festival Opera postponed, Millville Music Festival. I could go on and on. Various concerts by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, the CLO Summer 2020 season canceled. Seems like people are getting more comfortable with postponing events to the fall, even though they don't know if people will be actually comfortable going out in crowds by then. How could this impact Pittsburgh arts and culture and the people that work in and around it?
Well, the groups and their leaders really don't know yet. They don't know when they're going to be technically allowed to open again, and when they do, if you know, what kind of social distancing is going to be required. If you run a sizable or even a, any size of a theater space where for live music or live theater, you know, is it going to be worth it if everybody has to sit 6 feet apart? Are you going to even be able to get enough people in the space to make it worthwhile to do a live event? So it's a big question that people have, and we're really not going to know until, you know, the openings start happening.
And Bill, when those openings happen, what might you be looking for?
Well, I think it's just going to be it's going to be really enjoyable to just be able to gather with people again, hopefully at such time as we don't have to worry about our fellow humans as disease vectors. I'd say, you know, live music would be a big thing that I'd be looking forward to seeing again.
Bill O'Driscoll is WESA's arts and culture reporter. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. In our year-long split ticket series, we've been talking with four voters about the candidates and issues that could sway their decision at the ballot box. This month, everyone is quarantined at home, thinking of little else beside the pandemic. But 90.5 WESA's Lucy Perkins reports the coronavirus has changed everything except people's minds about President Trump.
Hello.
Before the virus hit the U.S., Ed Switlinski was applying for jobs and doing some side work in cybersecurity. His wife had a temp job. His kids were in school. But now, like a lot of parents, they have to do everything.
We really don't get a moment's rest at all. So it's actually taking a toll because there's seemingly no end in sight.
In addition to their two daughters, Ed and his wife are also now caring for a friend's two-year-old through the foster care system. He's still looking for work, but the pandemic has prevented a lot of companies from making new hires. And Ed's wife can't work remotely, so they have no money coming in.
I can do this for a couple months, but things have to start working themselves out. It's very demoralizing. I have to sit here and do nothing.
Ed is in his 40s and lives in Bethel Park. He's a Republican, though he's voted locally for some Democrats. He gets the importance of social distancing, even though he says it's hard to tell how many lives are actually being saved by it.
Hello.
Progressive Democrat Savannah Henry wishes we had all quarantined earlier.
Yeah, I think if we would have maybe been a little bit stricter, things would have panned out differently. I still think that there would still be casualties and people would still get sick, but I don't think it would be at such a mass level. And I 100% think it's because of like faulty leadership.
She's a sophomore at the University of Pittsburgh and found out school would be online for the rest of the semester while she was home on spring break in March. But while she's been social distancing the whole time, she knows other people who haven't been.
On St. Patrick's Day, it was my last day in Pittsburgh packing up my things. And my friend invited me to a quarantine like St. Patrick's get together. It was a group of seniors, so I wanted to go, but luckily I left, so I didn't have that temptation.
Since then, she's been at home with her mom in Erie. She says some people she knows are not being as strict about social distancing rules, and other friends are calling them out for it.
They may not party in super large groups, but there are still small get-togethers going on. And then I've also seen like people on social media tweeting and like kind of policing people.
Democrat Linda Bishop, meanwhile, has no plans to leave her home right now. Linda's retired and lives in Mars, Pennsylvania with her husband.
I'm 68 years old. My husband is 74, and he has some underlying health conditions, and so do I.
Linda describes her voting habits as purple and has been registered as a Republican and a Democrat. She and her husband had been following news about the coronavirus from the beginning and decided to go into self-imposed isolation even before Governor Wolf issued a stay-at-home order. She hasn't been to a store for over 6 weeks. They've been buying everything online, do curbside pickup for groceries, and only leave their house to walk the dog.
It's hard because we don't get to see our kids. We don't get to see our little grandson. We get to video chat with him every day, but it's not the same thing, but we just know that that's how it has to be for now.
But Republican Mary Henze does not agree. Mary's been on disability since 2010, and even though she's HIV positive and has a compromised immune system, she believes the stay-at-home order is government overreach. She says the whole thing has been blown out of proportion.
And this is how I look at the whole corona thing. I have had an immunodeficiency disease
for 25 years. And every flu season and every time that there's something going on, it's about me protecting myself. I cannot expect my neighbors or other people down the street to be concerned with whether I get sick or not.
She recently got tested for coronavirus because the chemo she's been getting to treat her breast cancer made her short of breath. Since she tested negative, she's been quarantining at home. But even though she's used to taking care of herself, she says the length of time she's been alone has still been hard. She doesn't see anyone except her son through the window when he brings her groceries and leaves them on her front porch.
I don't want to cry, but not having physical contact, a hug, a touch, a conversation in person is so terribly lonely.
Throughout this series, these four voters have been split on nearly every issue, from impeachment to health care. Right now, they have one thing in common. They're all at home. But while they've all watched President Trump's regular White House briefings, they have very different reactions. Republican Ed Swiklinski is not a fan of the daily briefings. They don't make him feel better or worse about the pandemic, but he is frustrated that he has to hear from experts instead of Trump.
This really isn't President Trump. Now we're at Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, the CDC, they're running the show. Trump's not running the show anymore. That I don't like.
But progressive Savannah Henry says Trump himself is the problem.
Trump is just, he's so disrespectful, so it's kind of hard to take it seriously. Every day it's something different. Like, one day he says, oh, it's up to, like, Andrew Cuomo to decide whether New York's going to reopen or not, and then the next day he says it's up to him. I just feel like there's not clear leadership. And at this time, you really need, like, a strong leader to, like, band the country together, and I'm not really seeing that.
Republican Mary Henze loves who Trump is, but says she wants to hear more from Vice President Mike Pence, since he's in charge of the coronavirus task force. And she says Trump's briefings could be tweaked a little bit.
I don't think it's bad that he talks. I think he's long-winded.
But Mary says Trump's done a good job handling the crisis overall, and she points to the fact that he banned flights from China at the end of January. She's confident Trump will win re-election easily, but fellow Republican Ed Swiklinski says the economy tanking could hurt Trump's odds.
There was not a box to be checked before in poor economy, now there is, and now that there is, it could be his fault, and he's going to lose some percentage points for sure.
Democrat Linda Bishop thinks that the real point of these briefings is an attempt to rally his base.
His press briefings are nothing more than a substitute for the campaign rallies that he can't have right now.
Linda lays the blame for the country's unpreparedness and high death toll squarely on the Trump administration. And she's worried that the virus could still be with us or surge in the fall as voters prepare to go to the polls. I'm Lucy Perkins, 90.5 WESA News.
And for today, that is The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of the show on our website at wesa.fm/confluence or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks to our team, Helen Wigger, Tom Hurley, Joya Zenkovic, Kylie Kozinski, and Megan Harris. I'm Kevin Gavin. Please be safe, and I hope you have a good day of good news.